Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
This is Goop Yourself, the podcast where we talk about everything Goop. I'm Brian Rucker.
Hi, Maggie Hewitt.
And we're back again.
Yes.
Show 76.
Wow. It was 75 last week.
That's right.
Is that an anniversary with a special, like, element? Or
is that diamond? Or no, 50s diamond jubilee.
No one lives to 75. 75.
I think there is technically one, because I feel like I used to have an almanac when I was a kid that like said what all the anniversaries were. But yeah, I can't, like, you have to be really old.
So old and have been married so young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, maybe it's just like slate for your gravestone or something.
Yeah, a cold, hard, gray headstone for your grave.
This might have not been a good idea to drink a Dasani sparkling water before, because I'm just going to be burping the whole time.
Oh my goodness. Getting very real and personal right at the beginning. It's always a good idea to enjoy a Dasani sparkling raspberry lemonade.
Yeah. If I need to burp, I will turn away from the microphone.
Thank you so much.
Wow. So before we started recording, we just had a very long conversation about the new Roseanne.
Yeah. We really got into it. Off the air.
Yeah, but I mean, this is not a Roseanne podcast.
It's not a Roseanne podcast, but basically, we liked how the show was done. We think Roseanne is insane, and we feel conflicted about it, I would say, is the ultimate.
I'm going to keep watching it. It was fascinating.
Yeah, it was fascinating.
Yeah, but yeah, that being said, I don't really want to support her, because she called the Parkland victims Nazis.
It's a complicated time in the life of someone who grew up liking Roseanne, right?
It is.
I mean, it's, yes, but she is definitely a crazy person.
But yeah, stay tuned for our Roseanne podcast.
No. I'm sure there already is one.
Oh my God.
They must be having a crisis.
It was like 18 million people or 22 million. It was the biggest show ever.
The biggest show ever.
Yeah.
And that makes me scared, because I'm like, does that mean that Trump is going to win in 2020?
No, I think a lot of people, I don't think it's like all Trump supporters that are watching her. I think like,
it wasn't the silent majority.
I know, back in the day, Roseanne was like, conservative people didn't like Roseanne. I never thought of her as like a conservative.
Well, because remember, they all got mad when she spit and scratched her crotch after she sang a national anthem.
Still, I think the second greatest national anthem performance ever after Whitney Houston.
I thought it was fun. You know, I like
funny.
All that.
Yeah,
stuff.
That's the thing, is like, she is funny.
Yeah.
But she's crazy.
She's
and
insane.
She's, yeah, anyway.
Some people just like shouldn't have Twitter, and then like, yes, life would be so much better.
Speaking of Twitter, I guess I'll just go into it. So there was a little bit of Gwyneth gossip this week.
You were telling
which
me.
Which I don't feel like, I feel like the last time she was in the news was when she got engaged and she sort of kept a low. I mean, aside from obviously her semi-successful podcast that is our competition.
Oh, yeah.
She hasn't really been in the news lately, but okay. Mm. I'm going to try to tell this story. I mean, you guys probably already know.
I didn't.
Aggie didn't know. So Tiffany Haddish had a profile in GQ that went over a lot of things. One not really related thing is she did say she liked to drink turpentine to cleanse herself.
Yes.
And so, of course, our friend Jen Gunter got on her high horse and said, how dare... And I mean, honestly, she's right. Like, don't drink turpentine.
Don't drink turpentine, for the love of God.
But it's one thing to go after Gwyneth Paltrow. I feel like she's an easy target. For Jen Gunter to go after Tiffany Haddish. Tiffany Haddish is America's current sweetheart.
Yeah.
So
Jen Gunter,
she's
doesn't
not gonna
know.
Win that fight.
She doesn't know what she's doing.
But anyway, another thing that Tiffany said in her profile was, I guess she was at a party, maybe after the Oscars or after the Golden Globes or something, that that Beyonce hosted. And someone who she did not name, an actress, came up and apparently bit Beyonce in sort of like a playful way, like sort of she was fucked up, but she bit her on the face.
On the face,
yeah. So Tiffany Haddish went up to Beyonce after this happened and said, basically, like, do you want me to beat up this bitch?
Oh, my God.
And Beyonce was like, oh, no. Like, this girl is just on drugs. She's usually doesn't act like this. Chill. Don't worry about it. And so Tiffany should not have, like, everyone signs an NDA when they go to a party with Beyonce. Oh, so Tiffany should not have even said this.
Oh.
And she didn't name who it was. But obviously, like, after this article was published, it was like a field day. Who bit Beyonce?
Yeah.
So everyone has their theories and, like, people, you know, posted all the different actresses that were at this party. And apparently, among other actresses, Gwyneth was one of these people that was at the party.
Yeah, and she was one of the few people you could definitely call A-list.
Yeah, for sure. Like Jennifer Lawrence. Well, some people say she was there. Some people say she wasn't, because that was another one that people controversial thought that might have been her.
Mm-hmm.
But then what happened, Chrissy Teigen on Twitter at first said, like, oh my God, I need to find out who bit Beyonce. If it's who I think it is, like, I believe it. Like, this girl is the worst. And then someone said, are you talking about Gwyneth? And then, of course, she said, no, I love Gwyneth. But then she said, I guess she found out who did it. And she said, oh, it's not who I thought it was. You would never guess who it was.
But you would guess that it was Gwyneth because somebody already guessed that it was Gwyneth. And she said no.
Yeah. And, like, Gwyneth, to me, does seem like the type of person who in her normal life is, you know, buttoned up, straight laced, doesn't drink that much or that often. But if she gets fucked up, like, I could see her maybe taking some Molly before the Oscar party and, like, getting really handsy and
sure.
and going crazy and biting Beyonce.
I could see her going crazy. And I could see her biting Beyonce because, you know, they're so close.
To that friendship.
Well, they're very good friends.
Are they in Beyonce's mind or just in Gwyneth's mind? Are they good friends?
I think.
I never hear Beyonce talking about Gwyneth.
I don't know. I never hear Beyonce talking about anything.
Chris and Jay hang out, but I don't know now that they're divorced if.
Maybe they were just like, we're all four friends.
Yeah,
before.
I don't know. But I think they obviously like are friendly and they know each other. And yeah, so yeah. I can see. But so some people, including I was listening to a podcast with Roxane Gay, and she thinks Gwyneth was the one who did it.
Oh, really? I trust her. She's got a sharp eye.
She's very smart. Yeah.
I mean, she's smart in other things than like who bit Beyonce on the face, but I think including and guessing who bit Beyonce.
Yeah, well, this was a Real Housewives podcast, and she had a lot of smart things to say.
About she was. I listened to part of that too. Yeah,
But I guess the main culprit on the internet that people think it is the actress Sanaa Lathan, who I don't know would be considered A-list. She, this is gonna sound like I'm being snobby, but I'm not. Like, I just know her. She was in Shakespeare in the Park and
what
in Measure for Measure a long time ago.
Wait, in Shakespeare in the Park?
Yeah, but she's done a lot of movies, obviously. Okay. But I just
okay.
Like, oh, she was Isabella in Shakespeare.
Talk
in the Park.
Talk about A-list. Yeah.
But yeah, I think she is like friendly with Beyonce. Like she's in that crew.
What's the crew? Tiffany Haddish and Gwyneth Paltrow?
I guess so.
And
Taraji P. Henson was another culprit that people thought that it might be her.
But that's somebody that you would guess.
You would guess. And also, like, all these women that people were like, was it you? Was it you? Was it you? They did, like, blanket denials. No way was it me. I would never bite Beyonce. But Sanaa Lathan said something like, of course I didn't. But if I did, it would have been out of love. So that was a little like OJ-ish, like if I did it. So I don't know if she was just trying to like stay in the news because she's really not A-list or, but she probably was the one who did it.
Who did it? Can someone just like privately email us?
I know.
If you did it and you're listening, just tell us.
Someone told Chrissy Teigen, so why not tell us?
Chrissy Teigen spills the beans about a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, she talks a lot. She tweets a lot.
She does. So what else is new? You are on day 12 now.
Yeah, I'm on day 12 of the whole 30.
How's that going?
It's going fine. It's a little bit boring, but it's not crazy. It feels like it's slowing down. The first week, I was like, wow, I'm really getting through this. I'm breezing through this whole 30, no problem. And now day 12, I'm like, days like 10, 11, 12. 10 felt like a milestone. And then now 12 feels a lot like 10. And I'm like, I kind of can't believe I'm only... here. 12.
But if you think of it, you're almost halfway done.
I'm almost halfway done. And when I'm done, I will be so up my own ass with it. I will be so proud of myself.
It'll be quite an accomplishment. I don't think I could do it.
I do think you could. I don't know
if I want to do it is the thing.
I honestly recommend it. And I also, if you were thinking of doing it, I didn't buy the Whole 30 book. I got Whole 30 Day by Day, the Melissa Hartwig, the new journal.
Oh, I'm looking at it right now.
You're looking at it right now. I have it on my table.
20% off at Target.
It was 20% off at Target, which is about what it was on Amazon, but I was having issues with my delivery. Anyway, it every single day it has like a journal section you fill out. So you talk about like what you ate, what your favorite, what went well, what could have gone better. And like, it tells you like, here's where you probably are today with the Whole 30. Like, here's where most people are. Like, and then you sort of like evaluate your symptoms. You evaluate like your sleep, your energy levels. Okay. And
it's kind of good to like keep yourself accountable.
It's a good way to stay accountable, I think, because every day you have like a thing to, and then at the end there's like a little check and you just check it off and it's like, I did it. Whole 30 day 11 is in the bag, and you like check it off every single day, and it's kind of just keeps me going.
Yeah.
Highly recommend that if you want to try
that
it.
Actually makes me think that like if I did write something every day, it would be easier for me to stick with something.
Yeah. And I'm usually really skeptical of buying things that are like branded for the diet, but I feel like having it be like the actual book that you write in is kind of like kind of helps me stay accountable.
Well, I have been reading The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle.
Oh,
I'm like 75 pages in now, and like every night I try to read like a little bit before I go to bed every night. And
oh, how beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, like I just start complaining to John. I'm like, this book is so stupid, I can't believe it.
It's very
like
stupid.
I hate it so much. And then I like read it, and secretly as I'm reading it, I'm like, oh yeah, there's a lot of good things.
That's how they get you.
So that's the thing with it is like so basic of like, if you've ever tried to learn how to meditate and like stay in the present, it's basically just that, like, you know, the past doesn't matter, the future doesn't matter, you know, that's just going to cause you anxiety and depression. So you just have to stay in the present at all times. And I think he just takes it to like such a crazy level.
He's crazy. He's wild.
And then it's written like a Socratic dialogue. Is that what it is? When it's like questions and answers.
Yes.
And they're very sassy. Like,
they are? I guess I'm not remembering.
Yeah, someone will be like, well, is it really realistic to like be in the present all the time? Like, we have to like pay bills and like go to a job and like, you know when to pick up our kids from school. And he's like, well, if you want to be like a loser and like not be present at all, like, and be have like a state of like have your mind control yourself, then I guess do that. But if you want to be conscious, don't. Like,
just find a bench and sit on it for a couple of years. Then you'll feel better.
Which is apparently what he did. And that's the other thing. Like, in the preface, he said he was super suicidal. And then he like all of a sudden had this epiphany and was in a state of bliss for 5 months.
Sure.
And I'm like, oh, these are the symptoms of bipolar disorder.
Yes.
Like, this is like textbook. You want to be on a mood stabilizer.
Yeah.
But I guess instead he wrote a book and is a guru and a millionaire now. So.
Yeah. And maybe he is on a mood stabilizer.
Yeah,
or maybe.
I wonder if he would admit that to his public if he was. Probably not.
No, because I think he'd be like, I don't need it because I'm so enlightened.
Yeah. But so I keep saying I'm going to stop reading it. And then I keep reading it every
day. Finish
it. Yeah, I'll just finish it.
Just finish it.
In other news, quickly, I just went to the doctor yesterday. I have to tell everyone my cholesterol went up again. So I'm have to stop eating my full fat Greek yogurt every morning.
Yeah. So we've been on, what are we doing? High fat, high protein, low carb.
I was in this Goop Fantasia where people say, oh, coconut oil and full fat yogurt.
The coconut oil is poison.
And I was like, oh, this is great, knowing that I have this Jewish constitution.
Oh, fuck, me too.
And like, I can't do this. So I go to the doctor. Obviously, my cholesterol went up.
Oh,
and
no.
So I'm like, so he's like, have you ever thought about having cereal and toast for breakfast?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, that's not what Goop says at all.
I know. You came over yesterday and told me he said that. And you were like, it just seems so odd.
Yeah.
To have cereal.
I was to like low fat, high carb. And he's like, because I was like, isn't that a lot of carbs? He's like, well, carbs aren't really your issue. Like, you have high cholesterol. And I'm like, how dare you? But he's probably right. So Aggie had a great suggestion yesterday for me to do steel cut oats. So I made a big batch of them today, and I'm gonna have them for the week. And I do like my yogurt, but I might have to switch to low fat.
Oatmeal is delicious. It is. I miss it so much. And I eat cream of wheat, which is like even more intense. I think that's just fucking gluten.
Like pure
it's
sugar, just a big,
it's not sugar.
But it like converts to sugar, right?
Well, I guess if you get the whole, well, I mean, that's like with all grains. Yeah, yeah. Like if you get like a whole grain, it takes a longer time to convert to sugar.
But yeah, my doctor said, how about a piece of wheat toast with some light jam?
And
I said, no thanks.
I mean, that sounds like all sugar too.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing.
You were like, what about 16 eggs with an avocado on it?
Yeah. And like a dollop of coconut oil.
Sure.
So we'll see. I have 6 months to get the numbers down. So I'll keep you guys posted.
Yeah. I'm sure mine is going to be through the roof. But luckily, I lost my health insurance. So I'm not going to know if I have high cholesterol. I'll just keep going.
Great.
Yeah.
That's the key.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's enough business for today.
Yes.
Oh, wait, do we want to talk? Are we going to talk about the Goop podcast?
Oh, I have one thing on it. Yeah,
okay.
It's on my
list.
Okay.
All right, what is your best?
Actually, the best is from the Goop podcast, which I'm going to be honest with you. I listened to it this morning in the shower. So I heard it like through a shower curtain.
Oh, yeah, it was boring.
It was so boring. And I thought that guy, I was like, oh, Jesus. But. The best little tidbit was when she was like, yeah, we have this book, this like 70-page book. I can't remember what it's called, but it was like a self-help book that everyone at the Goop office has to read. And then there are all these like tenets that they add to. So one, and it's like these weird rules in like this cult-like way they have to speak to each other. So when they wanted to help like criticize each other, have a serious conversation, they'll be like, I need to talk straight with you. And talk straight is like the thing that means like, I'm going to tell you something you don't want to hear. And then when someone says they want to talk straight, that's your cue to listen generously. And you know, you have to start listening generously when someone wants to talk straight.
Yeah.
And then there are like all these other like weird, like it's like when I worked at Starbucks and they had like weird, like the siren's eye was what they called
it's
the
like
thing
this
where they
corporate
put the cream
speak. So this guy, I guess he wrote a book on like office politics and how to have a good work environment.
Yeah.
And then it's, you know, Elise Lonan, I can't remember her name right, but she's the one that that interviewed him. So yeah, they were just talking about like office politics and like women in the office, and she was making it seem like because Goop is a mostly female company that it's a sort of utopian thing. And she was like, yeah, everyone needs to talk straight. And then he was like, well, doesn't that hurt people's feelings if you're like totally honest with everyone? And she's like, no, I don't think so.
Well, because then they have like other weird things where it's like they can't say anything mean or I don't know. They have like all these weird rules. They had to like all.
I was in and out when I was listening to this podcast, to be honest.
I know. I fell asleep this morning reading the newsletter. I was like, I was not even listening to podcasts. Like I had my phone in my hand and like started just dozing off.
Yeah, it's diminishing returns.
Yeah.
And my other big complaint about this podcast was at the end, Gwyneth comes back and reads one question. Like have the whole podcast be Gwyneth answering questions from readers. That's what
she's going to do one interview a month with a, what did she say? Culture maker or something. It's like a famous person, basically.
But yeah, what was the question that...
I didn't make it to the end.
Oh, God, I don't even remember. But it was, yeah, it was like, I don't remember. It was, one question about herself. And I was like, oh, this is actually interesting.
Yeah, well, so much for my fear that podcast was going to take over this one.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see
It truly is Goop as a podcast. It's exactly Goop, but a podcast.
Wait, so that was your best?
Well, that tidbit was so funny and exciting. It was by far my best. That they to know that they walk around talking like that, I loved it.
That is great.
What was yours?
My best was, and it wasn't a great article, but I just loved seeing her pretty skinny face. The return of Moon Juice's Amanda Chantel Bacon.
Was she the one who's making protein pancakes?
Yeah. I'm obsessed with her.
I know you are.
I read Goop on Fridays, and also like all the new music that week comes out on Fridays. Just like new music in general comes out on Fridays.
Oh, it does?
Yeah. So like I'm reading the Goop newsletter, I also like just listen to like whatever new songs come out. So I got the same feeling opening up the newsletter and seeing Amanda Chantel Bacon has an article as I did when I opened up iTunes and saw Kylie Minogue has a new song.
Oh, wow.
So it was double
all
present
your
for me.
Favorites. Yeah.
So she's shilling $50 protein powder from Moon Juice, of course. And it's just like three boring recipes. One of them literally is just plain yogurt with a scoop of her like blue algae powder. Yeah, and that was the entire recipe.
Wild.
And then there was pancakes. And then there was something else. I maybe would make one of them with just regular normal priced protein powder.
I wouldn't.
Yeah, they don't look that good. But
I hate protein powder.
The picture, she has so many great pictures, but one of them, she's in this like gray sweatshirt and it's like supposed to be like just like pictures of her, you know, cooking in her kitchen.
Just casually. Just,
yeah. And so this, the one is so pretty. It's like her looking to the side, sort of holding out like a mixing bowl as with like not very much batter in it, like almost an empty mixing bowl. And then there's a cast iron skillet that is on the stove. And that is a pretty picture, but also stresses me out thinking to make pancakes in a cast iron skillet because I'm like, it'll stick. But not Amanda Chantel Bacon's cast iron skillet. So look at her pretty face, read her stupid recipes, and enjoy.
And buy her protein powder.
I mean, $50. It's just like...
Isn't it all that expensive? It's all really expensive.
Well, I get protein powder is sort of expensive, but you get like a giant jug of it for like $20 that lasts you for a year.
Where do you get it?
I think I got this last one that I got at like Whole Foods 365. But you can even get it at Costco.
Yeah.
I don't use it that much. Just every once in a while to have a smoothie.
I make a smoothie without that shit.
Yeah. Well, I think you do it if you don't have like yogurt or another like proteiny thing. You can use just like water and protein powder and then your fruit.
I just have fruit and almond butter.
Smart.
It's so good.
What's your worst?
Oh, the intuitive doctor. So there was, or she wasn't a doctor. What is she?
No.
A medical intuitive.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, don't worry. We don't think that you should do this instead of going to the doctor. But she's a medical intuitive is somebody who is psychic about things that in some way relate to wellness. And
this is a real kick in the teeth to the medical medium. I feel like this is his beat that she's taking
over. Yeah, you're right. Well, no, didn't the medical medium evolve into something else? Or that was the astrological psychologist.
Yeah.
Yeah. The medical medium will never change. I forgot he's got books and stuff.
He and his ponytail will never change.
What's his name?
It's like Anthony Michael. It's like a boring
Anthony
name.
Michael. Yeah. Yeah, but her like intuitive, like whatever her intuition was, she's just basically like, when you're tired, rest, like pay attention to how you feel. Like it was like so dialed back.
Yeah,
they were like, we're totally crazy, but look, we're gonna say this totally normal thing that isn't even interesting, so how dare you say that we're wrong. But it still was crazy. It's still crazy to say you're a medical intuitive.
A medical intuitive. Yeah, this ended up being my craziest, but yeah, the build-up to her was so insane. And then her advice was just like, well, pay attention to your body, and you have seven chakras, and people spend too much time thinking about the past and the future. Just like boring stuff.
Yeah. Oh, but then if you call her, she'll send you a watercolor of your like problems with your body or something.
That's chakras. The best part was the beginning where it talked about her methods, and then the end where it had her bio. So yeah, it says before your consultation, she paints a watercolor to illustrate what she thinks is going on with you. The paintings we've seen are both childlike and pretty. That's a backhanded compliment. Done in broad brushstrokes with lines of bright green, purple, orange, and yellow. Beecher, her name's Katie Beecher, includes handwritten notes to explain blue means you're sensitive, blah, blah, blah. Dots of paint might mean a blockage in your body. So it's like she paints like a child.
Yeah, I would actually really like to do this.
I would love to at least see some of these watercolors.
But I want one for me. You don't want one for somebody else.
No, you want one for yourself, I guess.
Sure.
And then her bio at the end was so funny to me. It says, Katie Beecher is a medical intuitive who does the majority of her consultations over the phone, which just seems lazy to me. and then it says she has a BS in biology and psychology and an MS in counseling with a particular interest in Carl Jung.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of funny. When do they talk about their particular interests?
Yeah, I thought that was weird. And then also just be like, oh, by the way, she's not like, she has no office. Like, you have to do it over the phone.
She has no office and no license. Does she have a license to do anything?
I mean, just degrees in biology. Oh, no, an MS in counseling. So
that's,
I guess,
not a license.
No, it's not. I don't know.
Anyway.
Yeah. But yeah, she's another colorful character to add to the Rolodex of goop crazies.
Katie Beecher, my worst. Brian's crazy.
Okay. So my worst was the sex article written by the sheet company.
Yeah, that was my craziest. Because when they say you have to walk around your bedroom naked, I barely read it.
It was so disgusting. So there's a nice sheet company, I guess, like sheets and linens, called Savera or SFera. I don't even know. And it seemed like they were just like, oh, hey, you're going to advertise in Goop, write an article that you think would be good on Goop. And they were like, okay, we're going to write a crazy article about sex.
And feng shui, which is like, huh? Are you seriously still talking about this?
So, yeah, it's like, talking about sheets, but then it's just like four steps to owning your space. Of course, step one is walk around naked.
Sure.
Step two is write out a list of characteristics that on your best day you would like to be. Step three is closing your eyes and relaxing. And then step four is take out the list that you already made and look around.
And what a waste of time.
Yeah. Like, so you're just like, are you naked the whole time?
I guess.
And then it's not, they say it's going to be about sex, but then there's no sex in it. It's just like being naked, writing lists.
Yeah. But then you'll have sex.
I guess they're like, if you have these nice sheets, your room will be conducive to like
just
wanting
to
fuck.
Step one, buy our sheets. The end.
The end, yeah. And then, yeah, then there's this feng shui thing. Am I saying that right?
I thought I was saying it wrong. Feng shui, I
think it's feng shui.
Feng
shui,
whatever.
Whatever. I'm doing all of these wrong.
I know, me too. I'm 100% down the list wrong.
Don't put the side or back of your bed flush against the wall.
Nope.
I definitely did that. Yep. Make sure a chair is facing at an angle to the door.
I don't have room for a fucking chair in my bedroom.
Don't sleep under a window.
Right,
like,
under
how
it.
How big is your room that you can like not sleep under a window?
I have zero choice of where I put my bed. Yeah.
And then keep your space under your bed clear of clutter.
Absolutely not.
John's side of the bed is very clean. Mine is not so much.
100% the entire floor of my room is filled with my dirty clothes, and then under my bed is where I found these microphones we're recording in.
We're not doing it right.
Not so good.
So that was my worst and your craziest. So yes. I guess we're done talking about worst and craziest.
We're done with everything. Yeah. It was a pretty shitty crazy newsletter.
Yeah.
Well,
so now
those two articles are pretty bad.
What would you try?
Oh, I would try. Once I go into my food freedom, which is what you do after Whole30, I might try that week of groceries. Okay. I thought that was fun. I thought that the list was totally manageable. Mm-hmm. It was just like chicken and vegetables, and that was basically it. I mean, there wasn't anything crazy.
Yeah, I agree. It was it was just being like, here is a list of things to make if you want to be able to cook dinner quickly and easily every night for a week.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't anything like revolutionary, and it was like not that different from how I normally live my life, except for that normally I make way less like I'll cook like one day and microwave it for the rest of the week. But other than that, you know, it seemed totally doable.
I thought it was a good article. My only question was like, well, what do you do on week two? Like, are they going to have one of these every week?
That was my hope. I was like, are they going to just always do this? Wouldn't that be awesome?
See, that would be awesome. Because it didn't say like, oh, this is a new thing we're doing. Every week we're going to have a week of groceries. If they did that, I would be totally on board.
That would be my life from then on.
Yeah, wouldn't that be amazing to just open the newsletter and be like,
this is what I'm doing next
shopping.
Week. Please, please make that a weekly thing. And then actually,
I'm going to make that chicken recipe tonight.
Yeah, I would make, I mean, I'm not going to make any of this right now, but I'm... The chicken I could have.
Aggie's diet.
But, you know, I've got a couple more weeks and then I can start. But if this was a weekly thing, I would just... My life would be so much better than the hell it is now.
I hope it is. I just know... I know them. And sure. I know sometimes it's hard for them to keep something going.
To keep it going. That's true.
But we'll see. Yeah, because that would be great if every week they had like a new, cool thing. And I mean... It was not unmanageable. There was a fair amount, more herbs than I would buy in a typical week, but...
Yeah, but I mean, herbs, look...
Herbs are cheap.
Not expensive, and I do like to buy herbs fairly regularly.
Yeah, they make things
fresh
better.
Herbs. Yeah.
So my thing I would try, and I have never been more embarrassed about a thing I would try on Goop. So this article was so embarrassing, it didn't even make it into the newsletter. It just made it onto, like, the website.
Oh, so I haven't seen it.
It is a recipe by The Fat Jewish... That
ew!
Instagram
oh my god
plagiarist.
I'm so sorry. Can I please just interject something here? He has a rosé called White Girl Rosé that I bought by accident once because I didn't know it was his, and it's nice. Yeah.
So that's the thing. He is a disgusting human being. He plagiarizes jokes. he is friends with a million celebrities. I don't, maybe he has a nice personality. I don't really get like why he's so successful.
I don't either. I can't believe that they have a recipe from him on Goop.
So it is a cleaned up version of pasta carbonara. And he's like, basically he's like, I need to make some changes in my diet or I'm going to die very soon. And I love to eat carbonara, but I'm going to try to eat this one.
Who needs carbonara in their life so much? Brian's hand shot up when I
like
said
to
that.
Have permission to just like make carbonara on a weekday and not feel bad about it. Well, okay. So
welcome to your food freedom.
I know that's true. So this does not have pork, cheese, and gluten. Mm. It is lentil spaghetti with peas and shallots, lemon zest. You have two eggs, turkey ham, which I could deal with that, and then cracked pepper and salt. And it says This is a pasta you can make once a week or more and still feel light and lean. Serves two. Just me. And the fat Jew.
Just me and the fat Jew? What does that mean?
Oh, no, I'm just adding that. I'm like, I had a romantic dinner with the fat Jew.
Serves too. I thought that he wrote that. Like, I thought that, like, it was his joke because it's like, I'm whatever my name is, and the fat Jew is like my fake character.
Oh, like,
so
it's
he's
right
insane and he's like eating for two.
No, okay. I just added that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's douchey, but. God,
that does sound good.
He's like attractive though, right? Or no?
I don't know what he looks like. Does he look like a fat Jew?
Yep.
I don't know. I probably. I mean, I'm sure.
I don't know. I have a lot of conflicting feelings about him.
He's friends with Kat Marnell, my favorite writer of all time.
He's also friends with Kyle Richards, one of my favorite housewives.
Yeah,
of all time.
I mean, he's got some very good friends. Yeah.
All right. What would you buy?
Oh, let me see. Oh, I mean, I was like, honestly, I was like kind of grasping at straws here. But Monday, there was an article I didn't read about a foam roller, and I really want to get one. I tried it once, and it hurt really bad.
Yeah, we have like not the same kind of foam roller that they talked about, but it's like a shorter one that I will put on the floor sometimes. But I think it's harder than what...
They're hard, kind of.
Yeah, okay.
Well, so, they like support you. You roll on them.
But it is like, it does hurt.
It hurts.
Yeah.
But it's good. It's supposed to be really good for you. And I'm like, you know what? This is what I need. This is what's missing from my life. Are they expensive?
No, I don't think so.
I'm going to get a foam roller.
And they just had like a video of a lady doing some like foam roller exercises.
They always have videos of women doing foam roller exercises. And I just don't want to watch that.
I mean, that's an exercise video I can get with because it looked very easy. It was just like do a like roll for three
well,
reps.
It's not really exercise. Yeah, it's just like a way to like rub your back.
It's like, this is a workout. I can get down.
It's a good workout. Yeah.
So my thing I would buy, and I think we've seen it before in the old, newsletter, but it has not gotten an Ask Gene treatment before. So this the question is, dear Gene, I travel a lot for work, which I enjoy, except for the airport lines, breathing airplane air, and dealing with my crammed suitcase. I hate feeling disorganized and behind the eight ball. How can I feel more centered on these trips? And Gene recommends Demamiel Altitude Oil, which is an essential oil blend that you don't like put on your face or whatever. You just, when you get stressed out at the airport, you just open the cap and take a little sniff.
That's wealth. That is wealth.
Yeah.
If you have a special blend of essential oils just for when you travel, and how much is it?
Only $44. So.
Jesus Christ. And you don't do anything with it except for smell it when you get on an airplane. That's true. Is next level.
Yeah, she says this little bottle of oil isn't for glowifying your face or even cleansing your germ-exposed hands. It's more like the pocket full of posies people carried back in the time of chamber pots and the plague.
Like the plague.
So it's basically
like,
it smells like shit in the world. Like
you need that.
You are too good to like smell
that is
what the world has to offer.
Just so beautiful.
And it has eucalyptus, lavender, pine, peppermint, and she says, I put a bit on each palm. Oh, she just put it on her body. I put a bit on each palm and inhale the scented air between my hands. Instant heaven. I feel more myself, calmer, clearer, head on straight.
Oh my God. That's so funny. It reminded me of something. My mom, this is not about Goop, but my mom got conned into buying Pitbull cologne from this article she read in the New York Times. Because apparently there's like some perfume store in New York where they have all of these perfumes, but they don't believe in gender. So like women can wear a cologne and they don't tell you what anything is. So you have just like a pure reaction to it. And she said that like every woman was loving this one scent for themselves and it was Pitbull's cologne. So my mom bought it. And
like for like the scent of Pitbulls or for
it's his brand.
Oh, Pitbull, the guy.
Yes.
Got it. Okay.
And then she gave it to me. And then now I like want to start wearing it. I don't know why we're talking about scents, and this is just like where that led sounds, to me.
That would smell sexy
on a woman.
Yeah.
On a woman.
I mean,
I know you don't think women are sexy, yeah. But it's like if. But do you think it's like cool that it's not?
I don't know. I'm trying to, if I am putting
myself
like
Axe body spray,
in
but
the head of a straight guy, I wouldn't think that you would want a woman to smell like Pitbull, but hey, people have, you never know what you're going to be attracted to until you're faced with it.
Yeah. Well,
case
anyway,
point, that picture of Fat Jew eating carbonara.
Well, I kind of knew you'd be attracted to that. That's your kind of up your alley. While we're talking about scents, some people smell a pocket full of posies, and I smell Pitbull $20 yeah. cologne that my mom got conned into buying from the New York Times.
$20 cologne. Hey. What's his nickname? Is Mr. Worldwide?
That's another name that he has. Yeah, I don't know exactly how it works.
I can see it. Just you're walking down New York. There's like a hot, bald Puerto Rican guy. You smell, but it's a woman. My fantasy keeps changing.
It
back
turns
to
into
a man.
It just is Pitbull.
Yeah. Because he's not that attractive. He's like one of those people that I think far away would be attractive. And then you look at his face and you're like, oh, you're not that hot.
I think that he's just a lot older than you think
he's
he would
very
be.
Old, yeah. I think he's probably in his 50s.
Yeah.
But he's Mr. I hope Worldwide. When I see your mom, she smells like Pitbull.
No, it's me.
Oh, you.
She was like, oh, she was like, this doesn't smell good. This is Pitbull. And then I was like, I'll take it. And now
I
have it. Yeah.
Oh, so I can smell it right now?
Yeah.
Cool. All right, guys.
Okay.
This was a loose one. we have a new review.
Yay.
Is this boring to read? I love reading
No.
it. So we're going to keep doing it.
No.
Thank you. This is from a user whose name I'm not going to be able to pronounce because it looks like they just put their arm on the keyboard for
really?
A while. Yeah, it's like 30 characters long. It's just a bunch of G's
oh.
and B's and N's. So
okay.
you're keeping yourself anonymous.
Fine.
But the title of the review is Love Them, all
oh
in caps,
God.
2 exclamation points,
oh
5 stars.
God. Oh my God.
They're so funny, and I love that they update me on everything Goop. Awesome podcast. Short, sweet, to the point, and
thank
lovely.
You. Thank you so much. You guys, these reviews mean so much to us. We really appreciate it.
They really do.
Yeah.
So thank you guys for listening. Tell your friends. If your friends ever mention Goop or Gwyneth Paltrow, be like, hey, there's a good podcast you should listen to. And even
yeah.
if they don't,
just be like,
tell them about it.
Yeah, because then maybe they can get into reading the Goop newsletter.
Yeah.
Through our podcast. You know, we're always looking to expand.
We are. Man, we should, well, we can talk about that off the air.
Let's have
an Amazon page where you know how people will have like click on our Amazon page and then we get like 5% or whatever you buy through Amazon.
You can do that?
I think so.
I think it's for like charities.
Probably.
Yeah.
cool. So talk to you next week. We'll keep you updated on Whole30 and Eckhart Tolle and Beyonce getting bitten.
Wellness and celebrities.
Yep. All right, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.